Welcome everyone to How to Start a Podcast Live and this live stream session, Making the Cut, Everything Editing with Allegra Sinclair and Lindsay Harris-Friel from The Podcast Host, as they dive into how good editing can both craft your story and take your podcast to the next level of production, and discuss how to make your podcast more sustainable, resources for editing, and how to make the cut. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streamed event with sessions just like this one featuring top podcasters and podcasting experts from around the world as we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and more. You can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live podcast channel and download the Podbean app and follow this channel to receive notifications in real time about all the live streams and replays from the week. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean. We're a podcast hosting and monetizing platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or from our app here within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show with options ranging from a free account to multiple show hosting to our enterprise platform for businesses and various podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools. Head over to podbean.com to start your podcast today and use the code PODNOW to get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW to get your first 30 days of hosting for free. If you haven't registered yet, you'll want to make sure you do at podcastweek.live/start. That's podcastweek.live/start, as we've teamed up with our friends at Shure and we'll be giving away a Shure MV7 microphone to one of our registered attendees. Oh yeah. On our last session of the weekend, tune in, Allegra, live streaming your podcast on Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern. So our very last session of the week, live streaming your podcast, we'll be giving away that Shure MV7 microphone. And now we're going to hand it off to Allegra and Lindsay from The Podcast Host as we begin Making the Cut. Hello and welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Can everybody hear me all right? I'm using AirPods.
Yeah, we hear you coming in loud and clear.
Oh, perfect. Fabulous. Great. Allegra and I both come at podcasting from two different angles, but we get on like a house on fire. We both agree on it. We've found over the time that we've been working together that we just share very much the same philosophy of podcasting, even though we make completely different kinds of podcasts. Well, not completely different, but very different kinds of podcasts. And what it comes down to is, Allegra, tell them the cake analogy. It's really good.
Oh, okay. Well, now you put all this pressure on it. When we were talking about this, the analogy I used was, there are a lot of tools that can make your audio sound good, right? So there's a lot of tools that can make your audio pretty, but there are no tools that make your content flow better, make it logical, make it meaningful, make it impact your audience. So it's kind of like baking a cake, right? So your podcast, the content, how you show up for your audience is the cake. And then the audio is the frosting. So based on that analogy, you would not want to frost asparagus, I hope. So
yeah,
we want to start with talking about how the best tool for better editing is to make sure that you're starting with good content, that you're starting with a good cake so that you are not frosting your vegetables.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I just thought to myself, you know, the only thing I want to frost asparagus with is cheese and olive oil and garlic. But in any case, yeah, there are a lot of tools that will make your audio pretty, and there's a lot of things that can automate it for you, but they're not going to, just like she said, they're not going to give you, if you don't have good audio going in, basically planning is your friend. But who are we to tell you this? What's the experience that we're bringing in? I do fiction podcasting and Allegra does problem solving nonfiction podcasting. Allegra, do you want to give them your background?
Well, in 2 seconds or less, I've been a producer and a podcast host for over 9 years, and I currently have 2 podcasts. Aren't they like candy? You can't, or just like potatoes.
Yeah, I know. You can't eat just one.
You want to have more than one. So I currently have 2 shows. One's a professional development podcast, and the other one is a fan cast for the show, Star Trek Discovery. But I have worked with editors, and I have been an editor, and I'm currently editing both of those shows on my own. So I have developed a workflow that works really well for me, and it makes me sound fantastic. It makes my guests sound good, which is a lot of the point of what I do with my show. But like a lot of folks I suspect who are on here, podcasting isn't my full-time focus. So important things to me are to have an efficient editing process and a workflow. So
yeah,
that's how I come to podcasting.
Yeah. In my case, I come from audio drama podcasting. I made an adventure based on Norse mythology called Yarnsaxa Rising. And also I have made a couple of horror short standalone pieces for 11th Hour Audio. I have done one nonfiction podcast as well called the ADWIT, or the Audio Drama Writers Independent Toolkit. As a result, my editing experience is more on the planning and scripting end rather than on the DAW end, though I do have a lot of experience in dialogue assembly. If you handed me a bunch of audio and said, can you sound design this? I wouldn't embarrass myself. In any case, and Allegra, like you said, podcasting for us isn't our full-time job, so we don't have the luxury of sitting around. Like a lot of people, we don't have the luxury of being able to say, okay, I'm going to spend an hour for each minute, which is what a lot of people say it takes to do a fully produced podcast. And I mean, if you're thinking about something like the highly produced, if you're thinking about something like, say, The Sandman on Audible, something with really cinematic sound, something like The Truth with Jonathan Mitchell. I hear a kitty cat.
I thought that was your lawn sounded like a cat.
It's surprisingly enough, I booted the cats from this room. I don't know whose cat that is.
That would be me. I'm so sorry. Please keep going.
No,
so
that's exciting. Awesome. No,
we
that's
talked
really
about interruptions. Now, see, here's a great editing thing that we're going to talk about right up front. And then let me sorry, Lizzie.
Please.
But that cat
this is
made
perfect.
Me think about it. That so we're going to talk about the things that okay, you may want to edit that out, and then we're going to talk about some things that you want to leave in because you don't want to sound like a robot. And sometimes organic, I'll call them organic interruptions, make the show feel human and accessible. Right? It's an
exactly
thing. People invite you into their ears. So the fact that we just heard that cat, nobody's bloody as a result of that. It's all good.
Exactly.
It makes us feel like we're having conversations with real people. So that is one of those things that,
yes,
we could take out. But I have to be honest, I probably wouldn't. So what
we're
going to walk through a quick checklist of the things that we want you to bear in mind when you're thinking about editing. And then we're actually going to talk through some of the more tactical things and quick tips that would make it easier for you when you are actually editing, because we can talk about editing for like 3 weeks and still not be done. So we wanted to make sure that we jammed as much into this as we could. So do you want to start with our checklist items?
Sure. So the first thing that's important is that you want to listen to every minute. You don't want to chop out gold. And I do mean things like the cat. I have a podcast with a cat meowing in the background on purpose because we were talking about text and subtext. Take all the bad stuff out. There is stuff that you do want to chop out, and you chop out everything that you possibly can. Some of these automated tools have like Clean Voice Filler, which I have not yet tried, has things that will chop out the ums and uhs, but ums and uhs and pauses are what make you sound human. But you do want to take out the things like when somebody says, I was driving down Lancaster Road. Don't you mean Lancaster Avenue? Yes, it was Lancaster Avenue. I was driving down Lancaster Avenue. You want to cut that stuff. You line up your music and sound effects. I love music and sound effects because I believe that they make a more holistic listening experience. There's just sort of more for your brain to grab onto. Allegra, stop me if you want to add anything.
Have I ever been afraid to interrupt you?
No, and you shouldn't be. Please don't. Right. Please don't. Okay, make sure that your volume levels are consistent. You don't want to be jolting somebody out of their seat while they're driving with a particularly loud sound effect or a change in music. You want to make it sound like everybody is in the same room or at least in the same region. You want to make everybody sound like they're sort of on the same narrative plane. And your audio polishing is going to depend on your software. Especially if this is your just starting out time, get a system that does this for you, unless you really want to learn it. It is worth learning, and you'll feel like $1 million as you learn it. But unless you, if you're sitting here going, gee, I don't know if I really want to do that, as Allegra said, get the cake baked and then get someone else to do the frosting. Now, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, we have a whole lot of links that we can provide. Actually, now as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, I don't know how I would get them into the app.
There are a couple we could just speak out loud. If people want to go down the rabbit hole. But one of the things I do want to back up with when we're talking about the checklist is, because I know there are folks on here who... the two sessions that preceded this, I'm not sure if you were on here yet, Lindsay, when they talked about that, but it was how to start a podcast and then I think creating your podcast narrative. So when we're talking about editing, editing is what makes your podcast sound more professional. Yep. So think of your editing process as not like, ugh, I have to do this thing before I can do the real work, which is publishing my podcast, right? Mm-hmm. It is an important part of the process. And if you have planned your content in advance, it can be a fun part of it, right? Everybody often talks about editing as being drudgery and not being fun. And I actually think it's kind of cool. It makes me feel magical, like some sort of a TV producer, because I get to take something that I've already created and make it even better. So just to walk back through the steps when you're editing your show, for those who are newer, for those of you who've been podcasting for a while, you probably have a different process for this already, but it's important to listen to your show. So even if you're doing a solo episode, when you finish recording it, stop and listen to the entire show. Don't immediately start trying to, I'll use the word chop, that's a little inelegant, but don't immediately start trying to cut out all the different parts of your episode. Because when you listen to the entire thing, it has a different flow and a different feel. And something that you cut, you may realize later on, oh, wait, that was really good. I should have left that in there. So really do just take a moment and listen to the entire episode before you think about where you want to cut. Now, there are a couple of other side benefits to that. Besides the fact that you kind of get a feel for the whole episode, you also get a thought for, okay, so what am I going to title this, right? Because the theme of the episode kind of reveals itself. So you can go in saying, hey, Lindsay and I are going to talk about vanilla cake. Girl, we're going to be on this cake thing. Okay, so Lindsay and I
let's go with the cake metaphor. Right?
We're going to talk about pound cake. Well, guess what? Once we start talking about it, it may turn out that the episode's really about regional desserts or how families use desserts to tell their history. Right. But up front, we might not know that with our guest until we've actually been through the episode. So listening to it gives you an opportunity to figure out what is the goal there? What do I really want to share with my audience so that they will love it, tell other people, and then come back for the next episode?
Exactly.
So you listen to the entire episode. Some things are revealed to you where you might want to cut, what the overall feel for the episode is. And then also while you're listening, you can figure out if there are a couple of timestamps that you want to bear in mind. You want to create a quote, okay, so you can remember where that quote was. You want to write down a timestamp so you can tell your aunt, hey, go listen to this specific piece of this episode because I talked about you. Those types of things you can figure out during the editing process as you're listening to it all the way through for that first time. Then after you've gone all the way through it, then you can go back and start making those cuts that we talked about to make it more polished and more professional.
Yeah. And a tool I want to recommend is something called, I've never used it. Oh no, I have used it. I don't use it all the time. It's called Edit Point. And what it is you can listen to your audio file on your phone while you're out taking a walk or whatever. And it lets you make notes as you're listening to it so that you can go back later on and see where you say something. I'm a big fan of telling people to take a walk when they feel stuck. There was a Stanford University study about creativity and walking, and they found out that people who took breaks and went for walks, even if it was just on a treadmill, they were able to find creative solutions to problems more easily. So I like mobile tools. In any case, yeah, that's definitely another thing that Allegra mentioned with timestamps. You may find parts of it that you want to use for audiograms later on. If you use Headliner or something like that, you may want to find sections of it that you want to highlight for, just for future promotion.
Right. And as you're going through listening to the episode, you'll be able to discover those versus having mm-hmm. the whole episode published and then having to go back and figure out which pieces you kind of want to pull out. Another mm-hmm. interesting thing for me in the editing process is I kind of fall in love with the episode all over again as I hear my guest, because it's really about mm-hmm. them, right? So, I mean, I know me, I like me, that's a given. But it really makes me take notice of what the important things were that my guest said, because I always want my guest to be the star. And mm-hmm. the more I'm able to make them look good, the more likely they are to share the episode and help me find other great guests. So mm-hmm. you didn't know that good editing could have other benefits like helping you mm-hmm. get guests, et cetera, but it really can. It's an important part of the process, and it can be fun if you look at it that way. Now, I know one of the tools that Lindsay uses for her editing is that she doesn't produce her podcasts and episodes kind of forever and ever, amen. Instead, she works right. in seasons. So do you want to tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that?
Okay, so with seasons, the first, because I'm a big fan of story arcs and narrative, the first season of Yarn Socks Arising, and somebody asked in the chat how to spell that. It's Yarn Soxa, but with a J. So it's a Norse mythology character. What I did was I wrote the entire season in one huge script. Then we recorded it scene by scene over the course of a weekend, over about 2 days. Then we divided it into episodes. And actually, well, the script was divided into episodes before we started recording. And then we did the editing and sound design and released it on a weekly basis. So altogether, it was a 2-hour story. But with credits and everything, each episode ran between 10 and 20 minutes. So that's one way to make sure that your narrative is really consistent. And it's another way of setting up, making sure that everything's consistent before you start editing. The second season, I wrote each episode separately, but we recorded everything in one weekend and then released it over subsequent weeks after we finished all the whole sound design process. I'm a big believer in doing things in batches and doing things in seasons, because eventually you need to give yourself a break or you'll get burned out.
I think I don't produce my show in seasons, but I love the idea of batching because it mm-hmm. makes the editing easier. Once you've mm-hmm. gotten everything locked in and you have your whichever audio tool that you choose to use together, right, it takes a certain rhythm to be able to cook through your editing quicker. And it's if you mm-hmm. don't do it every day, all day long, right, it takes you a little mm-hmm. bit of time to get up to speed. So once I'm up to speed and all my systems are together, I like to mm-hmm. batch as much as possible. So I record several episodes at one time and then I edit several episodes at mm-hmm. one time. So that is another good tool for making the editing more fun and easier, right? Better, faster to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big believer in that. I think it also sort of lets you sort of take a step back and go, whew, I got a lot done. And then if something comes along, like all the, like, let's say you have, if you have six episodes lined up and then all of a sudden somebody says, oh my God, we need you to host the Oscars. Come on. You got to take 2 weeks off from work. Then you've got your six episodes set up waiting for you. So you can take that time off if you have to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There was also with, scripting your content and transcripts and repurposing with audio drama and fiction podcasts. Typically you have a script, so you don't have to worry so much about transcribing your episodes, but a script or a transcript helps you make good show notes. It helps you make audiograms to promote your content. If there's a moment that was gold, you can use it later. And transcripts also make your show more accessible. That expands your audience and helps you cultivate your following. So I'm a big believer in transcripts.
Do you edit? So do you do your transcripts in batching as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. I just sit down with all the episodes and do the transcripts at once. But I mean, one of the things that I think, this is going to sound really sneaky and underhanded, but I'm going to say it anyway, because we all have to cut corners where we can. This is, you know, nobody said podcasting was a cheap experience. For example, if you are paying to have somebody transcribe your episodes, usually it's less expensive if you give them a bunch of work at once instead of giving them a little bit of work at a time over a long time. Or if you have it in your budget, like, okay, right now I can afford to have a whole lot of transcripts. Or if you're buying a monthly subscription to a transcription service, you can do a lot of work at once and then say, okay, I'm done, and, you know, suspend or put the subscription on hold until the next time you need it. In any case, there's click editing. This is so weird, because normally I would look around the room and say, does anybody here know what click editing is? And I wish I had the visual level of engagement. I don't know.
Can we do one thing quickly before we go to click?
Sure.
Editing? So I just saw something flash through and it's moving so quickly on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pay attention, but I saw someone ask a question, I hope that was right, about how you actually cut ums and your nose. So click editing is like that next tip we were going to talking about. But there's a couple of things. If you are the person, you can only control you. But sorry, I'm losing my voice. I've been on a lot of presentations today. But if you are recording and you feel an coming, and we know that when it's coming, like when we're going to go or we're kind of doing that verbal procrastination thing. So let's pretend, or you have to take a big breath. It's allergy season, you had to sneeze, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. In order to be able to edit that more easily, don't have it in your audio in the first place. I know that sounds silly, wait for it, it's coming. So if I'm producing audio, right, I'm currently recording myself and I'm thinking, okay, it's an allergy moment, I need to sneeze or whatever. I actually turn my head away from my microphone to try to protect my audio. So if I have to take a huge breath, or if I know my guest has just said something and I'm like, oh man, I have to think about that. So first of all, I would probably keep in, oh man, I have to think about that, because it sounds natural. But if I have caught myself doing like that, right? Mm-hmm. That's not that impactful. I actually turn my head away from the mic until that little verbal, I don't want to call it a stutter, but until that moment passes,
I turn back
to the mic when I want to go back hot, so to speak.
Exactly.
So a lot of people say, oh, how do I, especially when you're starting, it's hard not to say,
it's so hard.
Right. In the beginning, it's hard not to say that. It's a habit, right? You'll get better at podcasting as you go along, but it helps you a lot in editing if you just turn your head. Why? Mm-hmm. Because then there are silences in your audio that make it easier to edit. Because why, Lindsay?
Because it's always easier to get that little, to get your line in the waveform in that silence.
Yes, just, which is all.
It's easier.
Which is why click editing is magic. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, so, okay.
I didn't learn the term click editing, but once you explain it, it's going to make sense.
Some people snap their fingers close to the mic. Some people go really close to the mic, like they click their tongue or something. Some people clap their hands or snap their fingers. I'm a big fan of the Booth Junkie, who is a voiceover artist. He does all kinds of interesting stuff, but he recommends using a dog training clicker. And if you have a dog or you've ever seen clicker training, the dog knows when it hears the click, it gets a treat. If you have one of those things, I mean, doing that tongue click or snapping your fingers or clapping your hands or whatever can get really tiring. And it almost feels like you're sort of punishing yourself. But the good thing about that high-pitched click noise is that it registers on the waveform as a straight line. Just makes a nice little chop right there. So if you have your clicker in your hand, you can just click it near the mic. And then that way, when you go back, there's a very clear vertical mark that shows you where you need to pay attention. Like, this is a part of the waveform that needs attention. And that has saved me a ton of time and headache many times. We use that in the second season of Yarn Socks Arising, and I really did not want to use it because I was saying, I really don't want our voiceover artists to feel like we're treating them like dogs. And everybody kept saying to me, look, just it'll make it, you know, editing takes forever, we'll just use the clicker, And we used the clicker. And what was actually really cute was that one of the actresses was a professional dog trainer, and she was a big fan of clickers. So every time she heard the click, she'd get a little more excited, and you'd see her sort of like sit up a little straighter because she knows click means good dog. But most people didn't even notice it. They just heard the click and were like, okay, we're going to have to retake something. It didn't bother anybody in the long run.
I think the magic of the process that we're talking about, whether you call it click editing, I never knew that term, like until six months ago, I heard Colin say it for the first time, but I used to work in media relations, right? And if you're doing an interview with someone and they totally lose their mind, you just clap, right? So
yeah,
there's the visual element when you're looking at the waveform, but there's the other piece. So another tool in your editing toolbox is please don't be afraid of silence. Silence is okay. Silence gives the people who are listening to your show a moment to breathe, a moment to think about what it is that you just said. And silence is a podcast editor's like best friend. So if I think that something, I tell my guests, right, when we're getting ready to edit the show, I'm like, hey, my purpose here is to make you look good. So if you feel like you said something and you're like, yeah, I didn't want to say it like that, or you got tongue tied, whatever that is, speak that out loud. And then after they've said out loud, hey, I want to do that again, I stop talking. So then I'm not trying to, because this is another editing thing we see all the time. The words will be so close together. And you're like, hey, when I try to edit this out, I'm like editing out a piece of the previous word and I don't want to. And there's only so closely that you can zoom in to get that piece. So don't be afraid for there to be no noise. Because if you cut your episode during silence, you don't get that click, you don't get that bleed through. It's okay to have silence. Remember when I said before, I feel magical when I'm editing? That's when the magic comes, when you can actually pull the episode together and make the edits that you need to in a way that is simple and doesn't affect your show. It's really difficult if you never let there be any silence. We had a user a while back who was trying to edit out almost every breath, like every bit of silence.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like 800 cuts in one episode that was like 30 minutes long. And I was like, okay, just listen to that. It is so unnatural sounding. It made me uncomfortable to listen to it because I felt like I couldn't breathe because it sounded like the people in the episode weren't breathing. So use your silences intentionally, both in the episode to kind of make it flow organically, but also use your silences to make your editing so much simpler because it's much easier to cut. Yes, you can see the silence, right? Because it's a flat line on your waveform, but also even if you're not as adept at like visually, like somebody said in the chat just a moment ago that they're now able to recognize on the waveform when they have said, I'm, that is magic. I bow down, that is crazy. That is so cool, right? So if you're not that adept, you can still take a look at your waveform and see, okay, there's silence here. I can go in here and make this edit I need to, or there's silence here, or there's that big spike that you see. Like if you clapped or whistled or whatever it was that you did, These are just tools to make the editing process rather flow more smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that I would, that I said, I was telling my husband that I was going to do this, and he's a sound editor, and he said, "Boy, if there's one thing that I would want you to tell them, it's to have crossfade enabled."
And what is that, Lindsay?
Well, he works in Logic, and most people, and I work in Logic too, and for some reason, this isn't the most popular digital audio workstation in the world, and I don't know why, because I like it. But crossfade means that when the speakers are talking in tandem, like you and I are right now, sort of that silence at the end of each little nugget of sound fades. So they fade naturally into each other, and it makes the space in between them sound less abrupt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it makes it sound like not a hard chop right after they stopped speaking, because there's always room tone around. Mm-hmm. There's always room tone around a, and I hear this a lot in when people are just starting out making audio drama podcasts or audio fiction podcasts, where you have two characters in the same room doing something together, but they were recorded remotely, and each person has their own room tone. Mm-hmm. And you can always hear that little tiny nugget of room tone right around the beginning and end of their line. So it ends up, that's why you want to, that's another reason to have crossfade enabled.
So. I don't know if crossfade enabled is an option in my editing software.
Maybe they call it something else.
I don't even know.
I don't know.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't know, but I think that that leads to our next tip, which is pick a tool that's at the right level for you, right? We started off saying there's a ton of tools that can make your audio sound good, whether that's the editing or the post-processing. Now, if you pick a tool that, I don't want to sound like I'm demeaning any of the tools or dissing any of the tools, because I'm not. But what I'm saying is there's tools for every level. So think to yourself, okay, if I want to edit my podcast, how much time do I have to learn the tool that I'll then use? How much time do I want to spend editing my podcast? Because you can find a tool to match any level that you pick. There are some tools that'll automate a lot of it. So if you're saying, you know what, I want to be able to edit my podcast in 15 minutes or less. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a tool for that. But make sure you pick that tool. If you're like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm all the way in, I don't care if it takes me 3 hours. Great. There's a tool for that. But mm-hmm. when you're thinking about editing, ask yourself, how much time do I have to devote to this? How much time do I want to devote to this, and then pick a tool that matches with you.
Yeah.
Now, earlier we had talked about what happens when the unexpected happens on your show and how do you deal with that? So let me use my example. I was doing a podcast interview and it was fire. Everything was going really well. And then mm-hmm. I heard like a little bit of silence and I almost wanted to say, hey, are you still there? And then I heard a toilet flush.
Oh my gosh.
In the middle of the episode. I almost lost my Southern Belle loving mind. I thought.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, and I said out loud, right? Because here's the thing. I knew mm-hmm. I could edit it out. I said out loud, honey, did you just flush the toilet? And she's like, oh, you heard that?
Oh my God.
Yeah, kind of. So I continued to talk to her until she finished what she was doing.
Yeah.
It was making the loud noises. I didn't hear it. Hello. Oh, okay. Oh. So what I'm saying, we finished having conversation and then I said, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to stop. We're going to have a bit of silence. And then I'm going to lead you back into what we were talking about. So we came to a complete stop after I finished laughing, because at first I was horrified and then I thought, "Who, this is going to make a great story. And if she ever listens to this, she's going to know I'm talking about her. Sorry, I told you I was going to tell everybody." So
we
stopped and then I thought to myself, okay, what were you just talking about? Because it would have been hard for her to get right back to that moment before the flush happened. So I knew what we were kind of talking about. So I just kind of repeated a question so that we could start afresh. And I did my thing where I clapped my hand three times so that I knew the point at which to look for that. Then I went back and I edited out everything. So remember, I listened to the whole thing. So I edited out the portion, like the 4 minutes before the flush, all the way up to the hand clap, because I had re-recorded a decent enough lead in to the question. So then her answer sounded natural and I didn't lose anything by just removing that whole section.
Yeah. You are a much stronger woman than I am.
I don't know about that, but that's not the first time that something weird has happened. And I know it won't be the last.
So, no, there's always going to be something weird. And we did an episode of the Audio Drama Writers Independent Toolkit that was like, it was all about the challenges of remote recording. And we left everything in. Every leaf blower, every somebody's running water somewhere in the house, every dog bark, every cat jumping on the keyboard, everything. And we did it on purpose so that people can hear this is how challenging it really is. And we just did that on purpose because I think that the other thing too, though, is when it, okay, this is just my bias about podcasting, about what makes a podcast listenable. I really like adding things like music and sound effects and sound beds. For example, my husband's working on a podcast right now that's going to be a couple of guys talking about different albums, classic albums that they love. But what they're going to do is they're going to do it with a sound bed as if they're on a beach with all of the sounds that you get from being near the ocean, you know, all of the birds and the ocean and so on and so forth. And I listened to an episode of John Deere, the brand, has a podcast, and I can't remember what the name of it is right now. But they did this beautiful episode where they interviewed this woman who, and she had a family-owned dairy. And she, how she rebrand the interview was about how she rebranded her dairy to make it more profitable. And I think I remember the company, I believe the company is called Redheaded Creamery, and they sell yogurt and cheese and all this stuff. But the interview took place out in a field somewhere at her farm. So you could hear all of the birds and the cows and the, you know, little tiny insects and so on, and the breeze and so on and so forth. And it felt like this very relaxing, wonderful experience that you would have completely lost if she had gone into a studio and just sat there and talked into a microphone. So there's a lot of things that you can do in terms of field recording or adding a sound bed to give your podcast extra richness and depth, as long as it supports your original intention. I mean, obviously, you're not going to do a medical podcast and interview a doctor at Starbucks with all the Starbucks noises unless you really want. Maybe
you might.
Yeah, if your podcast is about how busy and, you know, addicted to caffeine doctors are or something like that, you know, maybe that's part of your intention. But I think adding that extra layer of sound gives your podcast more appeal above and beyond the average interview or panel discussion.
I think that, so I wouldn't have edited out what I just did, by the way. So I think that one of the other tools that we talked about.
No, I would have left it in, but sorry, go ahead.
But one of the other things, so I think we kind of keep pointing out what we would have cut out and what we wouldn't, because that's something that we see people over edit, right? So I think we have kind of talked about that a lot. Hey, let's make it sound like a regular organic conversation while also sounding professional. So it's kind of the do as little editing as you can to make it sound as good as it needs to for your audience. So I think we've talked about that enough, but that's just the end of, that's kind of the summary of all of those tips. But I will say, if you're doing an interview episode, it is easier to edit if you have each of you on a separate track. However, sometimes depending on the tool that you use to record it, you don't have that option. So if you're editing a show that has more than one voice, and one of the voices sounds different than the other. In your post-production, we talked about earlier how after you have finished editing, after you've cut out the things that you want to cut out, that you can use a tool, there's a ton of them, that will kind of even out the volume. That's why we do that at the end. But it is simpler to do that if you have the two different voices on two separate tracks. So again, that's part of the planning when we said, hey, the best tool for editing is to plan it out ahead of time. One of the other things, so there's only two other things, and then I think, I'm not sure if people have been asking questions that we should have been paying attention to. But the
maybe Roni can open it up to, I don't know, we've got about 15 minutes left. And I think I'm sorry. I was going to say maybe she can sort of help us with the questions, because I've been focusing on listening to you. I haven't been looking at my phone very much.
Neither have I, but I just want to make sure that if somebody has a hot question, we're not ignoring them. So
me too.
Last two tips that I would throw out. One is
always
edit with headphones. And I had to learn this the hard way. Remember when we talked about how your podcast is intimate and people are like inviting you into their ears? Mm-hmm. You will hear things differently if you listen to your show with a headset versus if you just listen to it through the speakers on your computer, for example. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds silly because you're like, it's the same audio. It's the same computer. Yeah, but it's different. So
it's so different.
A headset makes a very big difference. And the first time you listen to it with a headset, you're going to be like, ooh, who is that? That's you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So always, if you can, edit. And it doesn't have to be like a super expensive headset. But even the, what do you call them? Earbuds that come with your phone. That will work, but if you listen with a headset, it makes a big difference at you hearing how the interview is flowing and hearing the quality of the sound. And then the last thing for editing is I use a template when I'm editing. So I know that my shows tend to follow a particular flow. And to make sure that I am meeting the overall objective, when I'm listening to the episode that first time, listening all the way through, I'm making sure that I did the things I wanted to do, that I had a good intro, right? And that I set up what the episode was about. And then we delivered on the promises that we made in the intro. And then we had an effective close. So using a template when you're editing enables you to make sure that you hit all those different buttons, because it's a terrible feeling to publish your episode and then you're listening to it. Remember when we used to get in our car to commute? And then you're in your car listening as you're driving somewhere. Uh-huh. And you're like, oh man, we promised we were going to talk about X and we didn't. So using a template when you're editing helps you make sure that your episode is complete.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just to follow up on the thing that you said about edit with headphones, there are any room that you're in has noises that you don't notice. And if you're editing in a room where you have things like maybe there's a refrigerator in the room where you're editing or an air conditioner, and you might not notice those sounds, they can prevent you from noticing sounds in your audio as you're monitoring it. Some people believe in using studio monitors. Some people, I don't think you really have to go all out and get expensive studio monitors. They're nice to have. They're wonderful. They are different from regular stereo speakers. But you don't really have to go all out. Like Allegra said, if you just have a good pair of earbuds or a good pair of over-the-ear headphones, we have a full headphone guide on thepodcasthost.com that is amazing. And I check it every single time I need to buy a new pair of headphones. But the other thing too is that most consumer grade headphones are meant to make music sound better than it actually is. And you want headphones that are meant for recording environments because they show sound, let's say, more nakedly than, say, Beats headphones, which crank up the bass on purpose. But I mean, again, don't spend money that you don't have to. Get what you can afford. But when we do our editing passes, when we're checking our work, we listen to it on headphones, we listen to it on speakers, and we listen to it in a car. and we listen to it on earbuds because we figured that those are the environments where people are going to be most likely to listen to our show. And if it doesn't sound good in the car, you know, if it doesn't sound good in the car and it doesn't sound good on earbuds, it's got to go back.
So I'm seeing a question.
Yes.
Is there a DAW digital, what is it, digital audio workstation? Is that what DAW stands for? I know what it is. I don't know what the, but is there a system, a software that we could use to reduce noise? And the answer is yes. Several of them do. And again, it's going to come down to at what level do you want to play? So for instance, Audacity will absolutely let you polish up the sound of your audio during the editing process. Hindenburg, GarageBand, right? So all of these different software systems that enable you to assemble your podcast episode, many of them have a feature in them that enables you to reduce noise. It will enable you to level the volume. It will enable you to apply, I don't want to get too nerdy, but apply compression, right, to make the sound richer. And so any system that you use should have some of those features. And the more complicated the system, the more options you will have. So is it Ralph? Can you tell me what software you're using to produce your episodes right now, to edit your episodes? While he's working on that, what is a way, or do you have a process where the host can provide direct feedback? Okay, I don't think that's for us.
Yeah. You know what? I'm copying a link to share here with everybody. This is about Audacity noise reduction. And then there's also how to kill background noise.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, I'm going to copy that one too and pop that one in here. So there's another one. And let me see what else we've got on here that looks... Oh, here's an interesting thing about... This is preventing background noise before you get start, or before you start. Power conditioners. What a power conditioner does is it reduces the amount of noise that your gear makes. And we don't think about how much noise our... I'll tell you what, if you lose power in your house, you notice just how noisy your house is when it's quiet. It's like your computer makes noise, your speakers, your microphones, whatever, they make this tiny bit of noise that we don't normally notice. And a power conditioner can help you, it helps your gear make less noise that will show up on your recording. So that's one thing. That's one way to just, it's a sort of way to start off. It's a way to avoid having noise that you have to get rid of later.
Sarah's trying to look back up through the chat as well.
Yeah, we had a lot of questions in the chat about the nature of the platform itself instead of just strictly on editing. So if anybody does have any questions that are, you know, about podcast editing in general, we would absolutely love to see them. Go ahead and just pop them in the chat there.
Thank you, Ronnie.
No
Thank
worries.
Thank you. And I can I've got another
four
article
things
here.
At one time. I can talk, I can listen, I can eat, I can drive. Those are the four things. So if other people had questions that they shared earlier, yeah, I might have missed those.
Yeah, I'm grabbing another one. Oh, here's our audio troubleshooter guide, which I really love. Let me get this in here too, because I think this will help a lot. But those are things like you're just sitting here going, what is that background hum? So thank you very much for the question about noise reduction, because that's something that all of us have to deal with. Does power conditioner work on mobile wave? Mobile wave. I'm not sure what that means exactly. A power conditioner is a thing that you use to plug your stuff into, like you plug your equipment into it so that it's not as noisy. And so it's, oh, like mobile data noise. Yikes. Mobile data noise. I would not know how to deal with mobile data noise. Allegra, you do more remote recording than I do. Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, not immediately. But I will say this, that there's a difference. So, sorry, I'm thinking several things at one time. So I don't record on my phone.
Yeah.
I think I've done that once, right? So if I'm doing an interview and my guest is on their phone, that's fine. But I'm usually sitting at a desktop plugged immediately into my modem, because if nothing else, I want to make sure that my end is stable. So I don't have a lot of data on how I can make sure that my, I mean, I don't have a lot of information on how I can make my mobile recordings cleaner. But I suspect that the folks at Podbean do, based on the fact that we're recording on this here app right now.
Yeah.
So I bet, I'm sure that Ronnie can help answer that question.
Yeah.
Oh, and, well, another thing Ralph is was saying if you don't have Wi-Fi. Yes. Yeah, so for me, yeah, I think that the team at Podbean is probably in a great position to help you maximize the quality of a, I don't know, it could go way deep, like 4G, LTE, whatever your signal is, they will probably have some great suggestions on how to maximize that. Because at the end of the day, we started off talking about how the better your quality audio is when you go into editing, the better it will be out when you come out of editing. So,
yeah. Real quick, somebody had a question about power conditioners, and a power conditioner regulates voltage output and filters noise. So it's just a thing that you plug your gear into and it makes it less noisy. That's this, that's like it, it, there, it's, a, it's, I don't want to, again, I mean, I've got a link there to the article so you can get all the details there. Oh, somebody said here something about keeps from clicking. Anyway, I'm call-in is disabled. So I'm looking for other questions. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I actually was going to do a last call for questions, and then we were going to go ahead and wind this panel to a close. So any last questions for our guests here? Anybody? And if you do have any questions about the platform or anything like that, please feel free to email our support team at support@podbean.com, or you can email me directly at ronnieg@podbean.com so I can further assist.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. Somebody said here, is it better to risk making the audio sound jumpy to edit out weird stuff? It depends on your intention. I've heard I've heard interviews on a podcast where sometimes it really depends on what you want at the beginning. And if your audio sounds jumpy and that affects mood in a way that brings the listener in, that's one thing. If your audio sounds jumpy and it distracts the listener, then you definitely want to just do whatever you can. Somebody asked where you can find our work. Allegra and I are both at thepodcasthost.com, and I have the, so please take a browse through there. Allegra, you do most of your stuff on the Alitu side, right?
So I was going to ask a follow-up clarifying question. I'm like, how can you find our work? What does that mean?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question.
I'm not sure who asked that, but if you can tell us what that means,
yeah,
I'm happy to answer.
Well, you know, also, Allegra, we didn't, maybe for people who are just tuning in or tuned in late, tell them what your podcasts are that you work on.
Okay, your fan cast for Star Trek Discovery is called The Black and Terry. Yep, crazy.
The Black and Terry.
But we don't care. and the other podcast is called Your Confident Self. And I would normally say, hey, just you can find them everywhere you can find shows. But I'm going to say you can find them pretty much everywhere, except maybe not Apple Podcasts at this moment. Because they're having a little hiccup. But yes, you can find them wherever podcasts are found.
Yes. And my podcasts are Yarn Soxa with a J, Rising. And that is a audio fiction adventure podcast that's based on Norse mythology. And my other podcast is, it's, if you look up AdWit, AWIT, you will find it at adwit.org or wherever you find your podcast. It is the Audio Drama Writers Independent Toolkit. So, yeah.
Sorry, so I just saw someone saying, thank you very much. You're welcome.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up then.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you guys so much for popping in and hanging out. This has been a fantastic time.
Yeah. Thank you so much for everybody. Thank you so much for coming to listen to us. I really appreciate it.
So thank you everybody for joining us for this live stream, Making the Cut, Everything Editing with Allegra Sinclair and Lindsay Harris-Frail from The Podcast Host. If you joined late or if you want to have another listen to any of these amazing podcasters and experts, you can replay this panel on the How to Start a Podcast Live channel. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, How to Start a Podcast Live is a live streamed event with sessions much like this one featuring top podcasters and podcasting experts from around the world as we dive into production, promotion, editing, audience growth, live streaming, and much more. You can replay any of the panels on the How to Start a Podcast Live podcast channel. Download the Podbean app and follow the channel to receive notifications in real time about all of the live streams and replays from the week. How to Start a Podcast Live is brought to you by Podbean, where a podcast hosting and monetization platform and home to over 500,000 podcasts. And you can easily start a podcast at podbean.com or within our app within minutes. We offer something for every podcaster and show with options ranging from a free account to multiple show hosting on the same account to our enterprise platform for businesses and other various podcast creation tools. Podcast creation, monetization, and engagement tools. Man, I wish I knew how to read, guys. Gosh, that English degree is just wearing off. Head on over to podbean.com and start your podcast today. And if you use the code PODNOW, you'll get your first 30 days free. That's PODNOW, and you'll get your first 30 days of hosting free. Stay tuned for two more days of live streams with live sessions tomorrow on promoting your podcast, women in podcasting, and news in podcasting and why you should care starting at 3 p.m. Eastern. So we'll go ahead and see you guys tomorrow. And thanks so much for tuning in today, and y'all have a fantastic night.